word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Back to the Bible radio program. This is Brent Arnold, the preacher for the Greenfield Church of Christ in Greenfield, Tennessee. And I'm delighted to have the opportunity to study God's Word with you this morning. Now, let us open God's Word together as we go back to the Bible. Psalm 40 is a song of praise that David sung after God had rescued him out of a pit. I don't know if you've ever fallen into a well or a pit. I haven't that I can recall. But I do remember one time when I was small, my brothers were playing baseball in another town, and just outside the ballpark was a phone booth. I'd seen pay phones before, but the only time I'd ever seen a phone booth like this one was on Superman movies when he would go in there to change into his costume. So I was intrigued by this phone booth. I wanted to go inside and check it out. But the door of this phone booth was kind of rusty and wouldn't slide very easily. And once I got inside that phone booth, I couldn't get out. I remember my heart racing, and I just remember being so anxious and wondering if I was going to be in that phone booth forever. How in the world am I ever going to get out of this? No one could hear me calling for them from inside the booth. I thought I was doomed. And when finally an adult was walking by and saw me in there and saw me trying to get out and came by and opened the door for me and let me out. It was one of those moments, probably one of those moments I've been more scared than any other time in my life. And it was one of those times when my only hope was to wait for me or wait for someone to rescue me. I think we all find ourselves in situations like that, not just when we're young, but even as we get older, we get into these pits. Not literally, but sometimes we get into these situations and we don't know how we're going to get out of it, how we're going to get through it. We need some help to help us, to rescue us. There's a story that's often told about a farmer who owned an old mule, and that mule fell into a well one day. The farmer could hear the mule moaning for help. And after carefully assessing the situation, the father sympathized with the mule, but decided that neither the mule nor the well was really worth the trouble of saving. So he called his neighbors together and told them what had happened and asked them to help haul dirt to bury the old mule in the well and put him out of his misery. Well, initially, as you might imagine, the old mule was hysterical, kicking around, stomping around, and moaning as the dirt was falling down from above. But as the farmer and the neighbors continued to shovel the dirt on his back, a thought struck him. And it dawned on him that every time a shovel load of dirt landed on his back, he could shake it off and then he could step up. And so he just kept doing that. Blow after blow, he would shake it off and step up. Shake it off and step up. And he repeated this so many times until eventually the dirt began to fill in the well and he was able to step out of the well. What seemed like it would bury him actually blessed him. All because of the manner in which he handled his adversity. And the lesson for us is if we face our problems and respond to them positively, if we refuse to give in to panic, bitterness, or self-pity, the adversities that come along to bury us actually have the potential to benefit and bless us. But do we have the mindset to shake it off and step up? When we read Psalm 40, we find David doing that very thing. He's at the bottom of a pit. He doesn't see how he's going to get out of that, and everything just keeps coming in on him. And what he's doing is, by his faith in God, he shakes it off and he steps up. And God eventually brings him safely out of that pit. And he can do the same for us. So, beginning in verse 1, Psalm 40 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear, and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust, and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. As we study this passage, we will see David going through six stages where he gets into this problem and then is rescued from it. In the first stage, David is in a muddy pit. The second stage, he cries out to God for help. In the third stage, he waits for the Lord to answer his cry. And then in the fourth stage, God draws him out to safety. In the fifth stage, we find out that God's rescue gives David a new song to sing. And finally, David's new song leads others to trust God as well. Our prayer is that God will lead us through these same six stages in our own personal experience. Let's think about each one of them individually. The first one is the king's pit. David found himself in a deep, dark situation from which he could not possibly rescue himself. It is a horrible pit that he is found in, that is full of miry clay. And that word, horrible, it comes from a word that could literally be translated roaring or stormy. So the idea is that it's a very deep pit, very dark at the bottom of that pit, and it's as if there is a wind or a storm swirling around inside of that. Now, that's bad enough in and of itself, but at the bottom of this pit, there is mire and mud. So, you know, even on solid ground, you couldn't climb out of that pit, but as David is sinking in sludge and going deeper and deeper all the time, it just makes it that much more impossible that he's going to rescue himself out of this pit. It makes me think about Jeremiah, where they took Jeremiah and they cast him into a dungeon, and they lowered him down with ropes into this pit that had no water but was mud and mire and muck. And Jeremiah sank down into that up to his chest. And that's the kind of situation that David is describing here, this pit that he's in. And pits like this are a familiar experience for a lot of people. Maybe not literally, but in a figurative way. We feel like we're deep in a situation. And it's dark and it's frightening and it causes us sorrow and stress and discouragement. We feel like we're sinking in it. Just ask an overworked businessman. Just ask a worn-out mother dealing with the constant demands of taking care of her children. Ask students who are dealing with expectations that they feel are impossible. Or the grinding stress of cancer or Alzheimer's or being a caregiver for someone dealing with disease. Anything that causes a sense of helplessness, a sense of desperation, and threatens to ruin life or take it away. As someone dealing with the grief of loss of a loved one, sometimes we can even get into a pit like this, doing good things, just like David. David was a God's servant. He was a king of God's people. Sometimes even when you're doing good, you end up in a pit like this. For me, I had this experience when an opportunity came up for me to work with a hospice company as a chaplain and also doing bereavement counseling. And I thought, this is a good work. This is a great opportunity for me to reach out to people in my community and be of help and assistance to them. And it was. It was a great opportunity. And I loved meeting the families that I met and working with them and praying with them. But the further I got into it, the more I realized I was stretching myself too thin. I had a family I was taking care of. I still had ministry at the church that I was trying to take care of, and now this too. And, you know, you have to realize at a certain point that you're a human. You can only do what you can do. And just dealing with the stress and the anxiety and the depression that even came out of that experience, there were times I felt like I was in a miry pit. That means something different to every one of us, but I have an idea that we've all been in a situation like that. So what is David going to do about it? Well, the second stage of this is the king's cry. From the bottom of that pit, David cried out to the Lord. In verse 1, he says, "I cried out unto you, O Lord." I think that's one of the reasons that God loved David so much. You know, the Bible calls David a man after God's own heart. There was such a close relationship between God and David. We're always told that big boys don't cry. Men don't cry, you know. But David did. And I think that's one of the reasons that God loved him so much. He not only cried, but when he cried out to the Lord. And that means two different things. You're crying literally because of the distress that he's in, but also his voice crying out unto God. In Psalm 6:6, he said, "I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with tears." Psalm 56:8 says, "You number my wanderings. You put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book?" God loves to answer the cries of his children. And here's what I take away from this that I think is very important. David turned to the Lord instead of turning to the world. Now, that's a temptation when you're in a pit like this. Sometimes we're tempted to escape the pit by lying or cheating. Here's a person in a difficult situation in their career. They're in a pit where they're being pressured to maybe do something that's dishonest. And so on the one hand, if they are dishonest, then they violate their conscience and violate their relationship with God. But if they're not, they might lose their job. They might lose their income and their well-being, caught between a rock and a hard place. Or let me pose another situation. Here's a person that is in a marriage that isn't going well. They're struggling with it. They feel like it's a hopeless situation. There's no way to get out of it. And at work, there is a person that they're attracted to who's very nice. And they think, man, if I could just have a relationship with him or her would solve all my problems and get me out of this deep, dark pit that I'm in. Or we're tempted to look for relief in lust and sin. If I can't get out of this pit, then I'll just get drunk, and that way I can just forget about it. Or people run to drugs, or they run to gambling, or they run to sex, looking for some sort of relief from their problems, a place to escape and hide from them. Trouble is that all of those solutions only make the pit deeper and darker. You can't lie your way out of it. You can't cheat your way out of it. You can't sin your way out of it. God's people have always been tempted to turn somewhere besides God. But the Bible says, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not respect the proud or turn aside to lies. Psalm 40, verse 4. David cried out to the Lord. He didn't turn to the devil. And friend, whatever pit you're in, I want you to understand, if you turn to the devil, he will only make that pit deeper and darker. Cry out to the Lord. That's where you're going to find your answer. The third stage of this is the king's patience. In Psalm 40, verse 1, David says, I waited patiently for the Lord. Now, implied in that statement is the fact that David's rescue didn't come immediately. He was down there in the bottom of that pit waiting for an answer to come. And I believe that's so important for us to notice, because we also experience that, don't we? We've been praying about something and it doesn't seem to be changing right away. Things don't seem to be getting better right away. And that really puts our faith to a test when it seems like maybe God isn't listening or God isn't helping, when really he is just delaying for a reason in his own understanding. We can't really draw deadlines for God, because he will either hasten or delay as he sees fit. We're sometimes not on God's timing, and we have to understand that. The moments when we are waiting for the Lord are the moments when our faith will grow the strongest, if we're able to keep trusting. This patience demands that we be humble. That from the bottom of that pit, we're going to keep looking up. No matter what, we're going to keep looking up for our answer. We're not looking down at the bottom of the pit. We're not looking around. We're not even looking inside of ourselves. We're going to keep looking up and waiting patiently. Those who are willing to wait on the Lord must be humble. The proud and arrogant want what they want, and they want it now. That's not the attitude that we take. The meek shall inherit the earth, Psalm 37:11 tells us. And so shall those who wait on the Lord, verse 9. The patience also demands that we be hopeful. We strain toward that moment that God will come to our rescue. The strain will help us to get up when we feel like staying down. Help us to keep moving forward when we feel like giving up. The Bible says, and now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Psalm 39:7. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I do hope. Psalm 130, verse 5. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. David cried and David waited. And then came the king's rescue. In his own time, God came to David's pit and pulled him out of it. What has God pulled you out of? God has pulled me out of so many pits, I could not begin even to count them. And I'm so grateful that He is a gracious and merciful God. He never comes along and says, "Well, didn't I rescue you out of a pit before? Why did you let yourself get back in one?" He is a patient God. And He continues to forgive. He continues to help. He continues to rescue. Maybe there's a pit that you're hoping He will pull you out of now. If that's the case, I want you to hear what David said. God inclined to me. He heard my cry, and He also brought me up out of this horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my step. Boy, there's a world of difference between quicksand and a rock. That's what David has here, a rock. God moved him from a place of desperation to a place of security. When I think about this, I think about an occasion I was driving to the hospital. We were awaiting tests, blood work from my mother, other tests. We thought that she had cancer, but we were waiting to hear the magnitude of it. And I had just gotten a call from my brother that came with very bad news, the very worst news that we could have gotten. And I don't think you need me to describe just how desperately painful that was. But just a moment after that happened, there was a song that came on the radio, and the name of the song is "There Was Jesus." And the song talks about how Jesus is right there with us in all of the things that we go through in life, all of the experiences that we have. And it was just amazing how that song spoke to the exact situation I was dealing with at the time. Now, the end of the story was that my mom was very sick, and within a few weeks, she would pass away to be with the Lord. And that truth that I heard in that song, it didn't make my problem go away. But what it did do is it gave me a rock to stand on. As painful and as sorrowful and as difficult as that was, I had a rock to stand on, and that rescued me from that pit. I still had to go through that trial, but I was rescued from that pit. I was rescued from that storm inside me. So open your eyes to lots of possibilities. God's answer to your prayer may not come in the way that you expect, but it will come. Oh Lord, my God, I cried out to You, and You healed me. Psalm 30, verse 2. Save me, O God, from those who hate me without a cause. They are mighty who would destroy me. Though I have stolen nothing, I still must restore it. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Your loving kindness, according to the multitude of Your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Oh, how God rescued David, just as He rescues us. And this gave the king a new song. A new song. You know, when God brings you out of a pit, and you realize it, how He has helped you, it makes you worship in a whole new way, doesn't it? You're not just praying to the master of the universe. You're praying to a friend. You're not just singing a song to a God who created the world, but a God who has saved you. And even songs that you've sung a million times before can become brand new after you've been through something like that. One author told a story from his childhood that helped him to understand this. He said, "I was swimming at the bottom of a pool one time, about 9 feet down, and I got my finger caught in a drain cover. In a matter of seconds, air was the only thing I cared about. I was good for about 30 more seconds, and then I was terrified. I cried out to God, and in a couple of seconds, my finger loosed, and in an instant, I was back on dry ground. And I had a new song in my mouth, a hymn to air, precious air, sweet air, priceless air." And this is the kind of love that God wants from us for himself. He wants us to crave him like that little drowning boy craved air. He wants to be what stirs the heart in the song that we sing. He wants to be our soul's delight. As David said in Psalm 46 through 8, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. I have come in the scroll of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O God. Your law is within my heart." What does God really want from us? He wants our hearts. He wants us to sing that new song of love and praise and thanksgiving. And in the final stage of this, David's new song helped others to fear the Lord and trust him too. "Many will see it and fear and trust in the Lord," verse 3 says. That's what we hope too. I hope that by sharing my experiences, I can help someone else to deal with what they're going through. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 1 that God brings us comfort so that we can comfort others with that same comfort that we've been comforted with. I pray that God's blessings to me will flow through me to others who need them as well. I know you feel the same way. So that we can help others fear the Lord and trust in him. Do you find yourself in a pit today? I want you to know there is help. I want you to know that if you cry out to the Lord, he will hear you. He will respond to you. Wait patiently for him to come, and he will come, and he will give you a rock to stand on. I don't know what that'll mean for you, but I promise you'll be okay with it. There will be peace. And that rescue will put a new song on your heart, give you a brand new reason to sing, and God will then use that to shine that light to others and bring them closer to him as well. Friend, if there's any way that we can help you with this, we pray that you will contact us today and let us know how you need help. Whatever your need may be, please contact us today.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Again, this has been Brent Arnold from the Greenfield Church of Christ. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope and pray that this lesson has been a blessing to you, and we hope that you'll tune in again next week to this same station at this same time. Please come and visit us as soon as you can. We're located on Highway 45 in Greenfield, Tennessee. We meet on Sundays at 10, 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can contact us either by calling us at 731-235-2341 or by emailing us at greenfieldchurchofchrist@yahoo.com. We'll be looking forward to our next opportunity to go back to the Bible. Till then, have a great day.